Okay, so we're starting from Samach Vav Amud Aleph, the Mishnah near the bottom. We're talking about the Seder of cutting the wheat for the Omer and bringing the Korban. So we explained yesterday that they went down the night of Motzi Yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach and they cut the grain, the wheat, the barley, and they had also that's when they started counting. We said yesterday that counting of the Omer started from the night when they cut it, and then the next day was when they actually brought the Korban Mincha. Okay, so the Mishnah says Katru, they cut the grain, Vinasnuhu Bekupas, to put it into boxes. Heviyuhu Lazara, and they brought it to the Azara, Vahimahavimasai Ba'ur, and they singed it in fire. Kedelakayim by mitzvahs koli. That's the definition of the word koli, dried out in fire. Divar of Meir. So they had to dry it out like that, in singeing it in fire. That they whacked it with sticks, with wet sticks and with a wet lettuce. This is where the expression hitting somebody with a wet lettuce comes from. In order that it shouldn't crumble, they made it a little bit tougher, and then they singed it in fire. So they didn't singe it straight away. Nasnuhu la buv. So a buv seems to be a sort of an iron pot type of thing with holes in it, where the fire can get in. So they put the grain in this container. And then asnuhu la buv. Abuv hayim menukav. This abuv had holes in it. G'day sheyehei ur sheylet v'chuloi. So the fire could get into all of it. And again, this is part of the drying out process, as determined by the word koli. Shatchuhu ba'azara. Then after they did that, they spread it out in the azara, v'haruach menashavispoi, and the wind blew it to blow away all the rubbish, I guess. Nasnuhu l'rechayim shal grusos. Then they put it into a grinder of grusos, just thick pieces. So it was a thick grinder. So they put that in there. V'hitziu mimenu isorein shuhu menufa b'shoshvei nofa. And then they took out, they ended up getting out of all this hole. Remember, we had the machlokes, if it was five saw, they started with a three saw. They ended up with one isorin of fine flour, which was menufa, was sifted in 13 sieves, one after the other. So therefore, that was what they used now. They had this one isorin, and that is going to be for the Korban Omer. V'hasha'ar, what do they do with all the leftovers? Yeah, they made very fine bits, but then they had almost the full three saw left over. The sha'ar nifta, it is redeemed. So it was because it was hektish, so they redeemed it. The nechal v'chaladam, once it's redeemed, anybody can just eat it, and that's it. The chayiv b'chala, and if somebody makes bread out of it, they have to take chala. That's per usual when someone makes bread out of their own thing. But it's potter min ha-meiser. It's potum in a meiser, because when you make challah, the time when something becomes obligated in challah is when you turn it into dough. You make the dough, it's obligated in challah. So that happened in the hand of the person who redeemed it, so therefore he has to take challah. The meiser becomes chayev in meiser when it's miruach, when it's piled up, when the grain's piled up, so long earlier. So that activity happened when it was still hektish. And therefore, when it's hektish, there's no meiser involved. So even though now it's redeemed, the redeemer, the person who buys it, doesn't have to take meiser. That's according to the Tanakhama. And Rabbi Akiva is mechayev b'chala uva meiser. Rabbi Akiva says, not only chala, but it does have to take meiser, the person who redeems it. We'll see in the Gemara what's the basis of this argument. Okay, so first of all, about the firing process. Tana Rabbanan, the Braisa says, aviv ze aviv. Aviv means that it's the first one. That's the pshat, the translation of the word. We can't, aviv, we say in modern Hebrew, is spring, right? So it's the first thing that grows in the spring, I guess, is aviv. Kolui ba'esh, dried out in fire. Malami chahu yisro mahavi ma'sei ba'esh. So that teaches that they would singe it, wave it into the fire K'dei l'kayim by mitzvahs koli, and they deal with that, the mitzvah of making it koli, divrei Rav Meir, as he said in the Mishnah, v'chachamim ma'amrim, turn the page, ein ur lashon koli, that ur, fire, is not koli. You put it in fire, that's not called koli. Ella dover acher nikra koli, something else is called koli. And what does that mean? It means kalil, which is like a soft, I guess. Ha'ketzad avuv shal klayas ha'yisham. So this is where we have this this container with holes in it of klayas, which was used to sell stocks of grain in it. Ha'yamanuk of kikavra, it was holy, not holy as in hektish, but holy as in it had holes in it. Kikavra, like a sieve, k'dei sh'teya ur shal letas b'kuloi, so that the fire could get through with all of it. Okay, so the pasuk says this words aviv kolui, and the next word is ba'esh, but then the next word in the pasuk is geris. So we don't know what any of those words mean. He says eina yedeya. So the brisa says I wouldn't know reading this sentence im aviv kolui im geris kolui. If you put it in fire, aviv, that means straight out of the ground, or you put it in the fire afterwards after you grinded it. That's when it's geris, means after it's grinded. Like we said, we put it in the rechayim shel brusos. Yeah, so when do I put it in the fire? Straight away, before grinding, or after? So I don't know, because the word ba'esh is in the middle over there. So it says, kishu emir ba'esh.
So they're asking, do you toast grain or do you toast flour?
Yeah, I guess once you've grinded it, it's flour. Yeah. It's grounded?
Not grinded.
Well, you have to make sure that you remain grounded. Kishu emir ba'esh. So in that pasuk aviv kolui and geris, which he quoted, the word ba'esh is actually in the middle there. Ba'esh means in fire. It hivsika inyan. So that interrupts. So that it's aviv kolui ba'esh, and then geris karmel is the next thing. So that means that you have to put it in fire when it's still grain. And then the next word in the pasuk is karmel. Karmel, of course, is a mountain, but what does the word mean? Rach umal. So it's a play on words, the word karmel, and it means soft, and mal means rollable in your fingers. To be moil or something in your fingers means to roll it in your fingers, so it has to be soft. The man came from Baal Shalisha, this is Elisha, right? He brought the lisha lechem bikurim, first cut bread, grain from grain from first cut wheat. He may get brought him grain, the estrim lechem sa'irim, and 20 loaves of barley bread. The karmel, again the word karmel, b'tzikloinoi. We'll see in a minute what b'tzikloinoi means. Vayomer ten la'am v'yachos, they give it to the people to eat. Above a yotzak lanu v'yachalnu, and he poured it out some drink for Yachalnu, and they ate it. V'nava hoya, and it was. Now we'll see in a minute. Noah means nava. It was nice. This was a nice meal. So all of v'omer nis alsa v'ahavim nis v'nitza v'nal v'nismach v'nischata be'ahavim. So these psukim, we're going to explain that all of these words that we don't know how to translate. That's another pasuk in Mishlei. We're going to say that these are all acrostics for different things. So the word, sorry, I went too fast. B'tzikloinoi, as you see in the Gemara, b'tzikloinoi, they've got little, in this one, they've got little asterisks there, because it's a Rosh HaTevis. B'tzikloinoi, so Rashi says, tzikloinoi is, so that's the, when he says here, boi v'yotzak lanu v'yachalnu v'nova, that is the, it's the word tzikloinoi is an abbreviation for those words, which is, go and pour for us, and we will eat, and it will be a nice meal. So that's where it says, b'tzikloinoi. So in other words, there are times when psukim put words in there that don't actually have a translation, which are either just different words combined to make up a new word that's not really a word, or it's even a Rosh HaTevis. So the one he said,
when you learn Poshut, it means that it was some sort of a keli of some sort in which he was carrying this.
Maybe, but we don't know what it means. So he's saying, just like caramel, we're saying, is not a real word. It just takes two words, rach and mal, and sticks them together. And it's not even rachmal, it's caramel. Just like it's a fake word. So he says, v'chein hu'emir, that tzikloin is also a fake word. It means, bav yatzak lanu v'chalnu. Har caramel? Yeah, but that came later. So that's it. And then, right, so that's a full stop there. Then Va'omer Nis'alsa Va'ahavim, this is another possible.
For a mountain, now they know what it means.
What, soft? You wouldn't want the, you wouldn't want the mountain to be...
It's got nothing to do with grain either.
No, maybe because the snow is soft, so it's rach and mol.
It doesn't get snow, dude. Carmel doesn't get a skiing resort.
Where do they ski?
That's
Hermon. Oh, Hermon is a skiing one. What do they do at Carmel? They make wine. Maybe because the wine is soft. Maybe the wine is soft. I don't know what a soft wine means, but it sounds good.
Whatever.
Okay. Va'omer. Now, the next pasuk we're quoting is in Mishle, and it says, Nis'alsa ba'ahavim. No idea what that means. So, what is this? So he says that it's also Nis'alsa. So it's talking about somebody who is an unfaithful woman in that Ephes. So she says to the person she's doing the adultery with, she says, Nisa v'niten, we should have a discussion. V'nala, then we should go up to the...
We shall ascend
to the bed. V'nismach, and we'll be happy there. V'nischate, and it doesn't mean we will sin, even though that's what they're doing. It means we will... like Fabrang, like Rashi says, like a Bein HaMishchat L'Fnayavi, we'll hang out there, Ba'ahavim, and that will be our, that'll be the lover's nest there.
In so Yiddish, the vault is for Vayon.
For whatever. Vayon. For Vayon, okay. So that's, again, the word Nisalsa is not a real word. It's a abbreviation for Nisa V'Nitin V'Nalu V'Nismach V'Nischat. V'Omer, now we got another Pasuk. This one is in Eoiv, and it goes, K'naf Renonim. Yeah, I'm just cheating because it's down here. Kenaf renonim. Kenaf renonim is... there it says the word nelsa, which is similar. Nelsa. So again, the word nelsa is a contraction, an abbreviation, and it stands for noisei oile v'nischatun. This is a kind of bird. It's the Baryukni, and he carries the egg and he flies away with it and puts it down in the nest. So again, it's just showing examples of words in Tanakh that are not real words, they're just contractions. The Omer, and then he brings one, this one I actually have heard of before, so make it a little easy for me. Ki yarata derech lenegdi, this is what the angel said to Bilam when Bilam was going with his donkey. And the angel stood in the way with a sword, and the donkey kept going to the side of the road, and he squeezed Bilam's leg against the fence, etc. So he says, Yorat HaDerech Lenegdi. What is Yorat HaDerech? Yorasa. So it's an abbreviation for Yorasa, Rasa, Notsa, that the donkey saw me. Sorry, she was afraid, and she saw, and therefore she turned off the path. So that's the abbreviations. Dever Rabbi Shmuel Tana. Going back to the Carmel that we had in our pasuk that we started with, he says Carmole. So he says this. He says car is an expression of like a pillow, which means a car, and it's mole means it's full. So it's also soft, but I guess he's bothered by the fact that if it was meant to be rach, it should have said rachmel. So he says, why does it say car? Because car is a pillow, and it's also a soft thing. Okay, so that's how they made it. They put it in the fire, and it softened up. And then, what do we do with the leftovers? So the first Tana said that it was redeemed, and is obligated in challah because the redeemer makes the dough out of it. But it's potter from meiser because it was piled up in the hands of Hektish. And Rabbi Akiva mechayev b'challah uva meisris. So why is it so? Why does Rabbi Akiva say it's chayev in meiser? Says Amar Rav Kahana, Omer Hoy Rabbi Akiva meruach Hektish ain't a potter. He says, and Rabbi Akiva says that even though it was. The grain was made into piles by Hektish, that doesn't make a potter from Meiser. And if it's then redeemed and it belongs to an individual, he has to take Meiser from it. So that's Rabbi Akiva's Shita, says Rav Kahana. Is Mosiv Rav Sheshes? So Rav Sheshes asked a question on this. How can you tell me that that's Rabbi Akiva holds? Meiser Shorish San Halalu. The Brisa says the leftovers from these three saw that we made from that, only one is sorrowing for the Korban Omer. Mahayo Oisimboy. What do they do with the leftovers? Nifta, it's redeemed. V'nechal achol adam, and everybody can eat it. V'chayev b'chalo potam in ha-maisris. So that's exactly the Tanakhama of our Mishnah. And then Rabbi Akiva, like in our Mishnah, says v'chayev b'chalo over maisris. So far, that's exactly the same as the Mishnah. But the Braisa elaborates. Amru loy, The Chachamim said to Rabbi Akiva that it's chayiv in that. Oh, so they heard Rabbi Akiva say if it's chayiv in challah, it's chayiv in maaser also. So they wanted to prove that we have examples of things that are chayiv in challah, but potter from maaser. And they said to him, "Poydem miyad gizbar yechiach." That means in general. So if someone redeems something from the gizbar, let's say there was a field that belonged to Hektish, someone donated a field for Hektish, and it belonged to the gizbar as the treasurer, and eventually the treasurer they piled up the thing, and then somebody redeemed it. So what happens? Chayiv b'chala upotur min ha'maisris. So he says. So they said, here's a good example of a case where something can be chayiv and chala and potter from a meiser. So they're proving, they want to prove to Rabbi Akiva that this is the case also. So what's this discussion here about poydem miyad gizbar yechiach, that if someone redeemed it when it was already piled up by the treasurer and then they redeemed it, they have to take meiser. What are you talking about? Im Isa, if you're correct, the Rabbi Akiva's shita is that when it's piled up by hektish, it's still the chuyiv in meiser. And the Rabbi Kiva's shita is meruach hektish and the poiter is my kamrile. What's the point of them saying that? It's the same argument. Yeah. What do you mean? If I'm poiter miad gizbar, so what are we saying? That when I redeem the flour or the grain from the korban omer, I have to take meiser. And they're proving him from other grain. I mean, what's the difference? It's exactly the same thing. So Rabbi Kiva says over here it's chayv and meiser. He's going to say over there it's chayv and meiser as well. How can you prove? You're not proving it from a different case. You're trying to prove it from the same case. It's the same thing. Redeeming it from the gizbar after it's already been piled up. So why is the omer really different? The question is with chayv and meiser because it was hektish.
The gizbar owns land and it has produce. The produce has got no kedusha. The whole thing is chulin. Whereas here, the grain and so was cut.
It has no kid. It belongs to Hektish. What do you mean?
It belongs to Hektish, but you know you can eat it with tumah and whatever.
No. But the whole thing of being mechuyev and meiser means it has to be belong to an individual. If Hektish opens a bakery and makes bread and sells it, there's no meiser involved in that because it's Hektish. Belongs to Hektish. It's about the ownership, not about the intrinsic holiness of it. The oit. And furthermore, Esver of Kahana Bar Tachlifa, Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana Bar Tachlifa asked another question to Rav Kahana, who said that Rabbi Akiva holds that if it's piled up in the hands of Hektish, there's no Meiser. Rabbi Akiva Mechayev, another Brisa says, Mefurish, Rabbi Akiva Mechayev Bechal Uva Meistress. Why? Lefisha Leinit No Moiser the Tzorech Lehen. The reason why Rabbi Akiva says it's Chayev and Meiser is not because when it's piled up by Hektish, there's still Meiser. It's because he holds that was never Hektish in the first place. When they sanctified and they made Hektish the grain for the Korban Omer, it was on condition that it's only that last Isorin that comes out that's holy. And the rest of it was never holy in the first place. Never belonged to Hektish in the first place. That's why it's Chayav and Meiser. Because the Mois, the money that was given to pay for, was only for that was needed, which is that one Isorin. The rest of it wasn't holy in the first place. Elam Rabbi Yechanan says, sorry, Rav Kahana, we're upslogging you. Talmud Aruchu Befivsh Rabbi Akiva. It is a well-known teaching in the mouth of Rabbi Akiva. Shaloi nitnu mo yisrael letzorich lahem. That the money given was only given for what was needed, which is that one is sorrowing, and everything else was not hektish in the first place. So therefore, it's chayv and meiser. Okay, Omar Rava. And Rava says, pshitali, it's obvious to me, demeruach hektish is poiter. That if it was piled up by hektish, and by the time that got into the hands of an individual that had already gone through the miruach process, that you don't have to take meiser. Vafila Rabbi Akiva lo mechayiv hasam, and therefore even the Rabbi Akiva says that over here it's chayiv and meiser is again elosh lanit no mois el tzayruch lahem. So that's is agreeing with Rabbi Yochanan and everybody else in the brisa that even Rabbi Akiva holds that miruach hektish is poiter, and it's only because here the money wasn't only given in the first place for that which was needed. Avol says Rava, but there's a different case of in the case of the Omer, Avol Meruach Hektish be Alma, but in general, if it happened to be owned by Hektish at the time of the Meruach, Poiter, then it is exempt from Meiser. Okay, now what about Meruach Oveh Kechavim? What happens if it belonged to a Goy, and he had it at the time when it was piled into a pile? And then later a Jew bought it. Does he need to take Meiser then or not? So it said if it was piled up in the hands of Hektish, it didn't belong to that individual, he doesn't need to take Meiser. What happens if it belonged to a non-Jew? That tanoihi. That's actually machlokes tanoim, says Rava. The tanya we learned in a brisa. Termin mishal yisrael also yisrael. If you have grain of a Jew, then you can take truma from a Jew's grain on other to be yotze for other Jews' grain. That's fairly obvious. Umishal evde kechavim al evde kechavim. And if you bought something from a goy and you take it, then you can take it, or you can take it to be yotze for other goyim. We don't really need to, yeah. So you're not. So it's maybe midrabanan. It's not a real chiyuv. So therefore, it's been a potter al a potter, if you like. Umishal kusim al shal kusim, because kusim we're not sure whether they're mechuyev or not. But if you take from one kusim on another, either they're both chayev or they're both potter. So either way, it's okay, because truma you have to take from grain which is chayev in truma for other grain which is chayev. If they're both potter, you can do it too, but you haven't achieved anything. But you can't take from something that's chayiv for something that's potter, or not for something that's potter, or something that's chayiv. So the kusim, if you're not sure, it's either they're both chayiv or they're both potter. Mishal kol, al shal kol. And the truth is, whatever you can do, he says, in the end, divrei Rav Meir. According to Rav Meir, you can take, Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, you can take truma from anybody's on anybody. That means even the goy that we mentioned at the beginning. So according to him, even if it was piled up in the hands of a goy, but then you bought it, you take truma from it, and it's chayiv in truma, and you can take truma from that grain to be yotze for truma for other grain that you have. That's according to Meir Rabbi Yehuda, because the fact that it was piled up by the goy does not make any difference. It's still obligated in Meiser. Rab Yosef, Rab Shimon, Emrim, Terbi Mishal Yisrael, Ashal Yisrael, Mishal Evde Kechavim, Ashal Kusim, Mishal Kusim, Ashal Evde Kechavim. So they say that the Kusim are definitely considered like non-Jews, and there's no Suffolk at all involved. So therefore, if you bought it from a Kusim, you bought it from a non-Jew, it's the same thing. You can take from one or the other. Avaloi Mishal Yisrael, Ashal Evde Kechavim, Mishal Kusim, but not from a Jew's property for that which you bought from a non-Jew. Avaloi Mishal Evde Kechavim, Mishal Kusim, Ashal Yisrael, and not from one that you bought to be yotze for that which was on the Jews. So that's a machlokes, whether the fact that it was piled up in the hands of the goy make it potter from meiser.
So the same okay. Person wouldn't give, they wouldn't take?
They wouldn't take any meiser. Maybe midrabanan they would take. Definitely potter midrabanan.
Somebody buying something, there's a money.
Yeah.
In the first place, he got the money because he sold something.
No.
No,
no. No, we're talking about when you bought. No, when you buy grain, the money's no. There's no meiser in the money. He bought grain from a non-Jew. Does he have to take meiser? The meiser. How do you know?
What the question is, you've got produce here that let's assume it's completely his, and he did all the stages of harvesting till the very last stage. Now you've got it, and he grows and now it's his soil. Now you've got a question: is this chayvin tumah or not? And if it is chayvin tumah, can you take some other grain? And so I'll use that grain to take tumah from this. The issue of the money is, for example, Hagdish now has got all this grain. Right? I only took time a little bit. What does Hagdish do without the rest of the grain? And so we say that Hagdish is allowed to kind of revert a common sum. So now the money becomes Hagdish money, and the grain is fully.
What is your question? We're not talking about paying Meister like you take stock of Meister. That's a whole different thing. We're talking about Meister that you have to take from grain and from things that grow.
The thing, if you go to a store and you buy food, you're going to have another Meister ready taken.
No, the Meister that you take on money is a completely different thing.
You're thinking you've given Meister.
Huh? No, that was yesterday's. I'm trying to go on, but I'm struggling. Okay, Javier, let's go on. We're a page behind. That Meister gift from money is not what we're referring to as Meister. That's what we're discussing. At what point is it obligated in Meiser? So it's the activity that makes it obligated in Meiser is when you pile it up into a pile. So So the question is, if it was owned by a non-Jew at the time when that happened, is it obligated in Meisr anyway or not? That's what they're arguing about. Okay.
The people of Dan relied heavily on Shvi'is and the blood of Arabs. 100% okay to use and all that. What about the Tumas and Meisr and all this?
They hold like Rabbi. They hold like Rabbi Shimon and whoever it is.
Right.
Obviously. Well, some people don't use a Hetzer Mechira, do they?
No, I'm not talking about Hetzer Mechira.
What?
I'm talking Fakert, I'm talking the Haredim.
Ah, the Haredim buy from the Arabs. But doesn't the Arabs, won't they buy it from Chutzlaretz? Gaza, wherever? I thought it comes from Gaza. Sorry?
Well, I thought they were religious.
So Machlokes, if they were real...
Machlokes, whether they were Yidden.
Okay, all right, sorry, all right. That's right. The Machlokes, if they were Yidden or not. Yeah, whether they were religious...
But not whether they fulfilled the mitzvah.
No, so the argument here is, are they considered, according to the first one, it says you can take from Goyim and Kustim from Goyim. Well, they hold you can take from anybody, so it doesn't really matter whether you say they're Jewish or not. And Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon say they put the Kustim together with the non-Jews, so they hold that Kustim are not considered Jewish. The whole debate, whether the Kusim are Jewish or not. Yeah, it's a whole Gemara and Chulin about the Shechita of a Kusim. Yeah, the Matzah was better. Yeah. The things that they kept stricter than the Yidden, but that doesn't prove that they were Jewish. It could be somebody who's converted improperly and they can do all the mitzvahs and stuff, but that doesn't make them Jewish. Okay, let's move on. This is today's daf. Gilgul Hektish. Now, what about challah? So Gilgul means rolling. That's when you roll the dough. Yeah, is that what you do with dough?
When you make
challah. Yeah. So that is it's a rolling the dough is what makes. That's the point in time when it becomes obligated in challah. So what happens if the dough was rolled in the hands of Hektish? Is poiter, then there's no challah obligation because Hektish doesn't give challah, only an individual. Ditnan, we learned in a Mishnah, Hikdisha isasa achale gilgala. If a woman made her dough Hektish before she rolled it, upada'asa, and she redeemed it also before it was rolled, chayevis, then because she's rolling it, she has to take challah. Misha gilgala, if she gave it to Hektish after she finished rolling it, and then pida'asa, she redeemed it, is again chayevis because she rolled it. But Higdisha Achaloi Gilgala, if she made it Hektish before she rolled it, the Gilgala Hagizbar, and the treasurer of Hektish rolled the dough, the Achakach Padasa, then the woman came and redeemed it again, then it is Ptura, then it is exempt from Chalash, Abishas Chevasa, Haysa Ptura, at the time when the obligation took effect, it was belonging to Hektish, therefore it's Potter. So that's about Hektish. Boy, Rava's next question, Gilgal Evikechavim Mai. What's the story if a non-Jew, it was owned by a non-Jew at the time when the dough was rolled? Is Misnitzan, we learned in a Mishnah, Gershon is Gaya. So what's the question? On the one hand, we have a Mishnah. The Mishnah says a convert who converted, the Haisa La'isa, at the time when he converted, he had some dough in the bowl. Is Nasa Archelon is Gaya? If he rolled it before he converted, it's Potter, because he wasn't Jewish when it was rolled. Mishnah is Gayer, but if he just came out of the mikveh and then rolled it, then it's Chayiv. So if he was Jewish, it's Chayiv. If he wasn't Jewish, it's not Chayiv. And if it's a Sofik, it's also Chayiv, because it's a Sofik Deraisa. Now, so that's a Mishnah. The question is, says Rava, Ha man katanila, who is the author of that Mishnah who says that the rolling in the hands of the goy makes it potter? Is it Divrei HaKoil he? Is it according to everybody? Even Rab Meir and Rabbi Yehuda down here, who said in the case of Meiser, that it's obligated in Meiser, even if the goy did the miruach, is hasam potri. Maybe over there they say it's potter, but hacha, sorry, the kamachayvi hasam, they say you're chayiv in the case of Meiser, but maybe potri hacha, maybe by challah the rules are different, because hasam who dechsev. When it comes to Meiser, the Pasuk says the Goncha. How do we know a Goy is not Mechuyev and Meiser altogether? Because the Pasuk says the Goncha, your grain. Now the word your grain is mentioned, there's an extra time. The Goncha says twice. It actually says three times the Goncha. One of them is to exclude Hektish, and the other two is to exclude a non-Jew. Why do I need two times the Goncha to exclude a non-Jew? The Goncha Yaseira, it's an extra one. I already heard you the first time. Why are you saying it again? Have a miyut achar miyut. This is a concept called like two negatives make a positive. That if the Torah excludes something and then excludes it again, it's ein miyut achar miyut el the rabbis. It's actually coming not to exclude the goy, but to include the goy. That afilu ev de kechavim. And that's what Rav Meir and Rabbi Huda say, that even though the miruach happened in the hands of a goy, that grain is obligated in Meiser. Aval hacha, but over here by Chala, trei zimni arisoisechem, even though it says twice, arisoisechem, your dough, you have to take Chala from, but chad arisoisechem, one of them is to tell you, kidei isaschem, that it has to have a minimum size of five eggs, and the other one is to exclude a non-Jew, and also that of Hektish. So maybe they learn from the Psukim that the grain is obligated in Meiser, even though the Goy did the Miruach, but Chala is Potter from, but Dough is Potter from Chala if the Goy did Miruach. So that's one option that everybody agrees it's Potter, Oy Dilma, or perhaps this Mishnah is only Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Shimon Ketani Law. They're the ones who say that you're potter from Chala when a guy did it. The Kapotri, because they say you're potter from Meiser also. So consistently they say you're potter from Chala. Avod Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, who say that you're chayev in Truma, in the case where the guy did the Miruach, maybe Gomri Reishis Reishis Mehasa. Maybe they learn Xer Shava. It says Reishis regarding Truma, and it says Reishis regarding Chala. Just like by Truma, if the guy did the Miruach, they say you're still Chayiv. So by Chala, if the guy did the rolling of the dough, you're still Chayiv. So we're not sure who was the... Oh, we have a Mishnah that says it's Potter, but we're not sure if that Mishnah is according to everybody, or only Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Shimon. Yeah, from his. It's his. He owns it. And you buy it from him afterwards.
So if you
hire
a goy to do something...
Not hiring. Doesn't make a difference. You own it. It depends who owns it. It's all about who owns it. There's Amar Rava. So Rava had this question. He didn't know whether it was everybody agreed or it was only Rabbi Yosef Shimon. And he said, interesting thing, Yehei Rava de Echse Bechom. Yehi Rotzin means Yehei Rava, that God should show me in a dream what's the answer to my question. Hada Amar Rava. So then Rava said, all right, forget about the dream. The dream didn't, maybe the next morning he didn't get a dream, so he thought, forget the dream, I'll just work it out myself. And he said, Man da Amar Meruach Evekechavim Poiter. The one who holds that when it's in the hands of a goy, it's potter, which is Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon, will say that Gilgal ev the Kechavim is potter, and Man da Amar Meruach ev the Kechavim eiter potter. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Huda, and Rabbi Meir, who say that when the goy piles up the grain, it's not potter from Meiser, they will say that Gilgal ha'akum also ain't a potter. So it's option one, option two, that it's the same machlokes that they have about Meiser, they have about the Chala as well. So that was the conclusion Rava came to. Is Esver of Papa the Rava. So Rav Papa asked a question to Rava. 1 second. A goy separated a peter chamor. He had a firstborn donkey. So the din of a firstborn donkey is that you redeem it with a sheep and you give it to the kohen. Yeah?
Or kill it.
You redeem it, you kill it. Varafte. So, or you kill it, right. Now, so let's say, but a guy is not mechuyev in this, but he decided he's going to do a petach hamor or challah. We don't really care about the petach hamor, we're talking about challah, right? The guy took challah from his dough. Is my dear my say shehu potter? We tell him that he doesn't need to. The challah say nechallah sezorim, and that which he took, saying this is challah, is garnished and it can be eaten by anybody. Or petach hamor, and similarly that petach hamor, you don't need my rabbi involved. Guys is va'ovid boy. You can just shear it. Didn't he do the Petach Hamor? Ah, Ben Pakua. Who was the Petach Hamor guy? Ah, okay. Sorry. Anyway, you don't need to do a Petach Hamor. Geizez va'ovid boy. You can use it just normally. You can work with it. You can shear the... If you did it with sheep, you can shear it. In other words, you tell the guy that he's potter, and that's it. It doesn't count what he did. All right, so the Rav Papa says to Rava, it mentioned Dafke Petach Hamor and Chala. What about Truma? Ha Truma, so I'm a dayik, that if he took Truma, it's a surah. Then the Truma is takya forbidden for a zar. That means the Truma counts. The Chala doesn't count, and the Truma does count. Ah, so here we're saying it's not consistent. So we're saying that you're chayev in truma. That means that the fact that the goy piled it up does not make it potter from truma. But he says chala, he is potter. Gilgal evigichavim is potter. So it's not consistent, Rava. How did you just come to that conclusion? You didn't have the right dream. Ravina asked the question to Rava. Chala sevdekechavim ba'aretz. The chala that a goy takes, even in Eretz Yisrael, where a chala is minatoira, but the goy is potter, and trumase b'chutz la'aretz is also where there it's truma d'rabbanon anyhow, and he the goy takes it. My dear, my say shehu potter, we tell the goy he doesn't need to. Chalas and the chalas lezorim, trumase and a manmas, and the chala is not chala, the truma is not truma. So what's the deal from that loshin? We're talking about the truma of a non-Jew in chutz la'aretz. Ha trumase b'aretz. What if the goy took truma in Eretz Yisrael? We say Asura Umadmas. It is Asura. It does count. So we said Chala of a guy in Eretz Yisrael doesn't count. The Truma of a guy in Eretz Yisrael does count. He says when it comes to Trumas and Maisres, the piling up of the guy does not make you exempt, but the Gilgal when it comes to Chala, it is Poiter. So Rava will answer you that the fact that the Truma is Chayiv is only Midrabanon. Because they don't want the rich people to use it as a tax loophole and keep giving it to give it to the goyim, and the goyim will have it, and therefore they'll always make themselves exempt from truma. So therefore they made a gzera that even the truma that's in the hands of a goy counts as truma. Turn the page. Fred the Gemara, if you're going to make such a gzera, feel the chalanami. Why don't you make a gzera that the chala of a goy is also potter? Because otherwise the bakers will all give the dough to the guy, and the guy, they'll sell it to the guy for a minute, the guy will roll it, and then they'll take it back, and they'll leave it to loophole to get out of having to give it a challah. So why don't you make that also as well? You don't like that loophole? So he says, because by challah, if you wanted to make a loophole by challah, you can do it yourself, you don't need a guy. You can take it less than one, 5 quarters, what, 1.25...
you can create your own loophole.
You make your own loophole by making small batches. Quantity. You make small batches less than the shear. You can make your own loophole. You don't need the non-Jew. And furthermore, even with Truma, there's also a loophole. The Truma Nami. Oh, so that's a question. Ah, Fred the Gemara. Truma Nami after the Abba Rabbi Isha. By Truma, there's also a loophole you could do by yourself without a non-Jew. Like Rabbi Isha says, the Amar Rabbi Isha, Mari Modem Altfuasa, a person can make a trick with his grain, or Machnitza Bemoshala, bring it into the house where it's still got the chaff on it, so that Kadeshate Behemta Yechela, so that's to be considered Michael Behema. At that point, it's animal food, and Paturim in a Misa. So you can do a loophole on Misa also. So why do they have to make a gzera? You might give it to a guy. If you want to make loopholes, you don't need a guy. Inami, or another loophole for truma, the ayulah derech gagas v'derech kafifas. Instead of bringing it into the front door, you bring it through the roof or through the back paddock, which also makes it potter. It's only chayiv in ma'aser if you took it through the front door. So therefore, you have loopholes in both. So what's the idea that you make a gzera by the truma and not by the challah? So the Gemara says, by the truma, the loopholes that are available by truma is in the public view. Everyone can see what you're doing. It's Hassan b'farhesia. Everyone sees, look at that guy. He's chewing a loophole to get out of giving his truma. Zila b'milsa, so he's embarrassed to do it. He's a rich landowner, and he's making little kuntzin, so he doesn't have to give truma. So he wouldn't do it. It's much easier for him to sell it to the guy. So we make a gzeira. If you sell it to a guy, it's chayiv anyway. The hacha, by the chala, when you're making chala in your kitchen, no one knows how much you put in the bowl. It's patzina. No one sees it. And Lezila Bomilsa, he wouldn't be embarrassed to do it, and therefore he's got his own loophole. So the guy is the Maimon Meirid, and therefore they didn't make a Gzeira by Chala. Okay, Shkoyach.